First of all, I have to compliment you on your head mic, because the one at my church, it doesn't fit brilliantly. So all the way through the meeting, you'll often find the person speaking doing this and this and this and this and this. So it seems to fit very snugly. I've got the things that I need. I thought it'd be a good idea to introduce myself, first of all. I've had a little bit of an introduction already. And there's obviously a few people here that know who I am, but quite a few that don't. So I am a gold ring. One of a few that are here. I've got to keep Andrew and Steph in sight over there as well. Obviously, we've had a lovely weekend. We came down for Friday night at the Martin Smith concert, so we came for that. That was really good. And Andrew's birthday as well yesterday, so we could give Andrew a cheer. Still older than me, which is lovely. And then obviously Georgina's dedication today, so it's a nice family affair today. And Dad said to me, John and Elizabeth, my mum and Dad, Dad spoke to us quite a little while ago now about the potential of speaking here on a Sunday morning, so we're just working the weekends out, and we felt that this one was a really good weekend. Seems appropriate. So, but I don't live in Felixstowe or Suffolk, in fact. We all lived in Colchester for many, many years, and then I went off to university in Northampton in 1997 and never came back. So I've lived in Northampton ever since then, actually, and come back every so often. Got my lovely wife with me, Kerry, and two children that are out in the children's work now. So so a little bit about me. I'm a primary school teacher. I've taught 15, 16 years now, I think, and I teach all the PE in my primary school. So I have a lovely job. When all the teachers go out at the end of the day and take their books home and are marking away, I don't. It's lovely. I've done all the PE all day, and I do some RE as well, which is great fun as well. So I very much enjoy that side of it. And I attended church, Kingdom Life Church in Northampton, an NFI church, and I've been there for since 2000, so 16 years as well. So I've been in part of that church for a long time. So that is a little bit about me. I do preach there sometimes, so this isn't my first go. I'm not trying it out on you. I've done a few, so it's been really real privilege to come and speak this morning. And I actually shared a word about a month ago at my church using this scripture, and I was just asking God what it was that he wanted me to speak on this morning. And I had free rein, really, what he wanted me to say today. And I've gone for the same scripture, but I feel as though he's put a different emphasis on it this morning. So it's definitely a message for you, for your church, because it could have been any message at all. And I really felt God's led me towards this. I've given it a title. I've called it, What Do You Desire? I know some people like to write titles down. So what do you desire? And it's based on 1 Corinthians. If you haven't read it, you should read it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. And I will jump around a couple of other verses as well that I'll read out to you. And I'll try and give you time to turn to it if you like to do that. But it's a short one. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, follow the way of love, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially that you may prophesy. It's a nice, short, simple, easy to understand verse. Follow the way of love, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially that you may prophesy. So I'm just going to pick that apart a little bit and share what I feel God's saying to us as well. And just start by looking at eagerly desire. What does it mean to desire something? If you desire something, what does that mean? I think I desire a bit of warmth at the moment. Some sort of sunshine would be nice. I'm very much a PE teacher as well, aren't I? The sun comes out, I'm in my shorts and t-shirt. I would desire some sun right now. I'd love a holiday at winter time. I desire it, but I'm obviously not eagerly desiring it, because if I was eagerly desiring it, I would be going for that. We'd have one booked right now, and we'd be off on our holidays probably in a few weeks' time in the Christmas holidays. So desire something is something that you want. And if you want something that bad, if you really, really want it, you don't just sit around and wait for it and hope that it comes. You go and get it. You chase after it. You make sure that it's something that comes yours. And I'm sure if we were to think in our own lives what that sort of might be, it might be, in the material sense, it might be a car, might be a house, might be a relationship, might be a job, a career of sorts, and it might be that we particularly desire something in our lives, and we put our minds to it, and we make sure we go and get it. And if that's not something that you particularly register with, actually, I'm sure you know of someone like that, that they've set their lives towards something, and they've chased after it, and they've made sure that perhaps their career is something that you've pursued, and they've desired a particular status in their life, or they've desired particular materialistic things. And if you pursue it, if you desire it, you will get it. You will go and get it. And if you are eagerly desiring, I looked up what desire meant, and it meant to particularly want something, and eagerly to particularly want something. It means the same sort of thing. And so it's just a double emphasis, isn't it? If you really, really want something, you will really, really make sure you go and get it. And it says in that verse then, 1 Corinthians 14, eagerly desire. So Paul, who was writing this book, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, the church in Corinth, and he was telling them, you should eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. He was telling them to chase after them, to pursue them, to go and get them, to ask God for them. So what are the gifts of the Spirit? What are those spiritual gifts that he was talking about? And there's a few references in a few different places that refer to it. So you've got 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 11, that I'll read in a moment. It also talks about it in Romans 12 and in Ephesians 4. But 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11 says this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Okay? So you've got the gifts of the Spirit. You've got wisdoms in there, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And it talks about how we should be desiring them. We should be asking God, I want gifts. And it's how good to hear a prophetic word. Let's talk about the gifts as well. It just shows how God sets things up, isn't it? And Paul's saying we should be desiring these things. We should be desiring, God, I want a gift. I know that you're a good God. I know that you've got stuff for me. And we are to chase after it. We're after to pursue God for what he has for us. And it's an instruction from Paul. It's not like a top tip or a little recommendation that it'd be quite good if you did this. Paul was saying you should be doing this. And that is what I'm hoping we'll go away with today, that desire of, okay, God, what gifts have you given to me? And I'm sure some of us will be aware of the gifts that we have that have come from God, and there might be some that are not so sure, but I think we can all go away and just take that time to press into God's presence and ask him, God, what do you have for me? How am I using my gifts at the moment? Have you got anything for me? And just to be spending time in his presence. Paul points out in Romans chapter 12 as well. I'm just going to read that. Romans 12, verses 4 to 8. I think this is valuable as well. When it's talked about this morning that we are a family, it's so good that I go to a church in Northampton and I come down to a church in Felixstowe, and yet we are all the same family. And we have that just common relationship with God, and the gifts that I'm talking about here are the same for you as they are for us, and actually how we are as a body. Paul was talking in Romans 12, 4 to 8, how we are a body, we are a family, and yet we are all individuals as well. We are all members of that family. So it says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so we in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Okay, and I find that really encouraging as well. Just the fact that we don't need to operate in all of these things. We're not meant to be some super Christian that can prophesy, can heal, perform miracles, and teach and lead and do all those things that we see people do, or come on the stage and operate in the streets and things like that. And sometimes as a Christian, we can look at those people and think, well, I should be like that, and I should be like that, and I should be like that, and I should be doing all these things. But it's just lovely to be reminded, actually, we are a body. Okay, and if we think of our physical body, you have the foot, the hand, the head, the shoulder, the knee. Every part of our body is just as important as the other. And actually, we all have a part. God has given us gifts according to how he chooses. Actually, and your gift is special for you. And yes, you may operate in more than one area as well. But actually, you don't need to be worrying yourself so much that, well, I want to be like that, and I want to be like that person. God, why aren't I? Well, actually, God has got you in a particular place. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you, and he wants you just to operate in that area. Not you know what I mean. Not so narrow. Obviously, he wants you to have a massive impact, but don't be pursuing stuff that actually God has got something in particular for you, and you are a body, and each of you, if each of you are operating in your gifting, and if you are operating in your gifting, and so are you, and so are you, and so are you, and so are you, that is where the church here, and the church collectively will just thrive. It will just so fulfill the potential that it has. And those verses that I just read in Romans, they're very active, is probably the best way I could describe them. Paul's talking here about if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy. If it's serving, then serve. You know, do it. What you've got, don't sit on it. Don't think, well, I'm quite good at that, but I don't really get the opportunity to use it. Do it. Okay, get out there, activate it, make sure you're doing it, because as you step into it, as you do it, you will grow in it as well. And I felt that this message was definitely a message for this church. I prayed about it lots recently, and I felt that this sort of, it was a prophetic message as well. And God's given me a gift of prophecy. I am not coming here to speak prophetic words. It's amazing. You know, God, I'm growing in it as well. I do feel like God speaks to me, and I'm able to share stuff. And as I was preparing this, I just felt God was saying that this is a prophetic word for the church. Actually, and he wants to activate people's gifts, and that there are people in the church that have a gift that perhaps aren't being fulfilled at the moment, and there are people that perhaps the gift is a bit dormant, and it's still at the moment. And actually, God is calling you today to activate your gift. He's calling leaders to release people into that. He's calling you as congregation here to ask God for your gift, to say, God, how can I use my gift? And I know there'll be people here thinking, I don't even know what my gift is. Well, actually, he's saying to you today, actually, you need to be finding out what your gift is. You need to be pursuing it. You need to be asking him. And actually, just in the meantime, just serve. just do. You know, I heard a couple of notices there earlier about you need fire marshals. You need people to serve here. I know your children's work needs people. And actually, you don't need a special gift to go and stand on a door. You don't need a special gift from God to go and help in certain areas. And actually, God wants to see your servant heart as well. God wants to see you being obedient and operating in those areas too, as well as those particular areas that I've touched on already. Okay, the one thing that my church back in Northampton drums into us a lot is just how good God is. It seems obvious, you know, but I know there's plenty of churches that perhaps don't hear this message quite so often. God is a good, good God. He has gifts. I was going to talk on this, and I didn't feel it appropriate, but Martin Smith touched on it, actually, on Friday night, where he spoke about the prodigal son and the father coming out and looking for his son and then racing after him, and just how, you know, as a father, as God is, as a good God, he just wanted the very best for his son. No matter what's gone on, no matter what's happened, the circumstances, he's just a good, loving father. He has gifts for us, and he's cheering us on. And I thought as well of Jesus and the disciples, and how Jesus came into the world, and there are these 12 people Judas being one of them, you know, 12 people that Jesus knew what they were going to be like. Jesus knew their flaws and he knew their characteristics and how they would let him down and how they would muck things up. But he got alongside them and he called them into who they are meant to be. Okay, he encouraged them, he got alongside them, he walked them, and they just grew. They grew, they started stepping out in faith, they listened to what Jesus was saying, what he was teaching, they watched what Jesus was doing, the way he lived his life, they copied, they had a go themselves basically, and they changed the world. And actually that's how we should be as well. We should be looking in our relationship with God, well, God, how do you want me to be used? How do you want me to live my life? And then we start using our gifts and allow God to use us, and we grow as individuals as well. So, follow the way of love, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially that you may prophesy. So, we've looked at the eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. We should be pursuing them. It starts with follow the way of love. And I'm speaking from 1 Corinthians 14. But if you go back to 1 Corinthians 13, and I know 1 Corinthians 12 touches on in all of this as well, but 1 Corinthians 13 is the famous chapter about love. And Paul is saying in there, verses 1 to 3, I think it is. He just explains how the gifts are great. The gifts are so important. The gifts are... To perform miracles is just amazing. It just sets people free. To prophesy is amazing. To do all these things is amazing. But without love, they're nothing. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So yes, we do need to pursue the gifts. We do need to ask God for ways in which we can operate in our lives. But actually, love is at the core of it all. It's just fundamental. You could spend weeks and weeks preaching on love, couldn't you? And I'm not going to obviously go into that now. But love is just at the center of it all. There's nothing at all if you're going to prophesy into someone's life. Without love, what's it? I've read an article, I didn't write it down, so I hope I get it right. It talks about prophecy, how it's not the oohs and the ahs of the fireworks. And I quite like that analogy, actually. Some people might pursue the spiritual gifts and I want to perform miracles. I want to get up on stage and I want to speak words of knowledge into people. And actually, if it's just for show, if it's just for I want to do that because it will be impressive, okay, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. It's got to be in love. It's got to be in love. And I've read that. I remember watching a Francis Chan sermon quite a few months ago now, and that's helped me in my preaching. Actually, he just talked about how he used to, and I used to as well. You get up here and I want to deliver God's message. I want to be able to speak to the people what I feel God's saying to them. And he just said, emphasize the importance of actually, no, I need to love the people that I am talking to. Actually, and I've recognized when I listen to that actually sometimes I've in the past, right, God, you've got this message for me. I'm going to look in the Bible, I'm going to write it down, and I'm going to deliver it. There you go. Happy God. And so I feel like I've done what God's led me to do. And then the realization that actually it's got to so be rooted in a love for the congregation, because actually otherwise it will go so far. Of course it will have an impact, and you'll be in obedience to God. But actually that message of how loving the person is just the foundation of it all. The miracle, praying for someone's healing. It's not the healing that we're necessarily after, it's the restoration of that person because we're loving them, isn't it? So it's that understanding. So love, follow the way of love. It starts with that. That's obviously fundamental, it's core to it. We've got to follow the way of love. Without love, all of this is pointless. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially that you may prophesy. I find that interesting. So why is it that prophecy is something that we should be especially pursuing? We should be eagerly desiring those gifts. God, I want those gifts. Give me what you have for me. But why prophecy in particular? And now I attend a church in Northampton where our pastor is very prophetic and very... So we've sort of been soaked in that atmosphere for years, really, and it's great. It's really, really helped me. And I've sort of... As I've been looking at this verse over the last few months, I've recognised that the prophetic side is something that is really on my heart. And I even bought a book, Translating God. I don't know how many people have heard of Sean Bolts. Oh, it's just absolutely astounding. Some of the specific words of knowledge. If you haven't, then I'd Google him. Get him on YouTube. He spells his name funny, though. It's S-H-A-W-N for Sean. Is that how you spell Sean? No, he's got it wrong, hasn't he? And Bolts, B-O-L-Z. But if you were to look at some of the ways that God uses him, you can just see how the words that he speaks into people's lives are just so amazingly specific, but it's done through love. And so I bought this book a while ago. I'm going to read a small section in a moment. But prophecy has been something that's been on my heart for a little while. So why? Why is prophecy so important? I'd imagine that there'll be many, many people that think prophecy is just, speaking amazing words publicly that are going to predict the future. You know, God's told me that this is going to happen. God's told me that this is something that's going on in your life at the moment. And he's revealed something to me. And of course, prophecy, there is that revelation and hearing from God to speak into someone's lives, absolutely. But actually, it's more than that. And if we understand prophecy today, and prophecy is the bit that I'm emphasizing, because Paul says especially prophecy, so I'm sort of emphasizing this one. Paul was speaking actually to the church in Corinth. He was writing the letter to the church collectively. So if prophecy was for just individuals or certain people, why is Paul writing to a whole group of people, telling them all, you should be pursuing these things, especially prophecy? Because it says in 1 Corinthians 14, just in verse 3, just afterwards, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. That for me is prophecy. When you speak into someone's life and you are strengthening them, you are encouraging them and comforting. So if you're speaking a word into someone's life that is strengthening them, that is encouraging them, that is comforting them, then you are prophesying into your life. You're basically just sharing the way that God sees them, and you're speaking it into their lives as well. It also says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. And I think that to me is the core of why especially prophecy? Why should it be that we should especially pursue that? Well, actually, because if we do, it edifies the church. It builds the church up. And if we were to all prophesy in this context that I'm talking about, if we were to all just go and speak strengthening words, encouraging words, comforting words, the church would be built, it would be encouraged, it would be stronger, we would get alongside people, we would encourage someone. And it doesn't have to be some profound, amazing word either. I remember years ago, just sort of questioning prophecy, and one of the pastors at our church just said to me, but you just start by going up to someone and just saying, you did a great job. That is speaking into their lives something that is strengthening them, that is based on the Bible. You know, it's good, it's how God sees that person. If you were to go alongside someone and you were to say, you did a fantastic job there. Or if you were to go up to someone and say, you know, God's got a great future for you. You know, that's in line with God's word. That's how God sees that person. God has got a great future for that person. He has. And if you share that with him, you don't need to hear God's voice in some miraculous way to be able to say to someone, God has got a great future for you. Okay, God can speak to you, and he does speak to you. And God will reveal things. But that's, for me, was the sort of the my first steps in terms of speaking in a prophetic manner. I can go up to someone and I can just speak into their hearts, speak into their lives, what the Bible says, because I know that God sees that person in that way. I know that God loves that person, so I can go and speak to that person and say, you know, you're great, you are. Don't listen to what that person said. You are fantastic. And that is strengthening, that is encouraging, and that is building that person up. I just want to read a small section from this book then. No point trying to say it when someone's already said it. I'll just put what he said. So, The prophetic is one of the greatest tools of love we have. Picture how technology has created a platform of connection in one generation. We can communicate virtually anywhere in the world through smart devices, internet services, streaming, virtual reality, etc. Technology has created a connection for anyone to talk anywhere to any of his friends, and to even make new ones. You can become part of an online community that you would never have had access to without it. The prophetic is meant to be like this. It is the technology or smart device to our spiritual love. It is the tool that accelerates relationship and creates connection with people, cities, countries, industries, and the world. Through it, we see a very real glimpse of God's heart and get to treat people exactly the way God intended them to be treated from the beginning. As with technology, revelation was not just meant to inspire prophetic gifts, but to help us live with a connection to how God feels and what he thinks. It is supposed to be our way of life, to see people the way God always longed for them to be seen. And from that revelation, to treat them out of his culture of love, so that they will want to be the versions of themselves we see. Having a deep relationship with God that includes authentic friendship will definitely lead you into sharing that kind of relationship and friendship with others. Many people pursuing prophetic gifts are about as close with God as they are with their yearbook friends, but they still insist on trying to use prophecy on others. Then they get discouraged about the lack of relational depth developed through the experience. It's because prophetic ministry is about your being a gateway to God's thoughts, emotions, and hearts for others through your connection with him. The world is full of 7+ billion pieces of God's heart, and as you get to know him, you begin to absorb his affection for humanity. Your relationship with him is the primary source and goal of revelation. And that last little bit there for me is just the key, isn't it? We said it's follow the way of love. Without love, it's nothing. We can't just pursue these gifts and pursue prophecy in particular just as a means of, look at this gift. It's about our relationship with God, our intimacy with God. God is love. Abide in him. He will remain in you. Remain in him. He will remain in you. If we can root our relationship with God and just get to know him more, the more we get to know God, the more we get to know God's heart for us, the more we get to know God's heart for everybody else. And when we get to know God's heart for everybody else to a deeper level, how easy it is then to speak into their lives and to prophesy and to speak, look, God thinks this about you. God thinks this about you. And it's strengthening and it's encouraging and it's comforting. And Paul was saying that we should all be pursuing that. We should all be pursuing the gifts, especially that we may prophesy. One more short bit, the next page. The goal of revelation is so simple. See what God sees, hear what God hears, and speak what God speaks, so we can all love the way God loves. Revelation is given to us so we carry a piece of God's heart from eternity into the world. Okay, and then he's quoted Mike Bickle at the end there. We prophesy each time we make known his passionate heart. So every time we make known God's heart, we are prophesying. And we need to be doing that. We need to be pursuing that. And that is really my desire. That's what I've been sort of thinking of a lot over the last few months, is really how can I prophesy? I need to spend more time in his presence. I need to pursue God more in my personal life, spend more time with him, get rid of the other stuff that pollutes my mind, that gets in the way, that just distracts me. Reduce that, get rid of that, spend more time with God, know God's heart more, and just give it away. And give it away. And as we speak into people's lives, it will have such an amazing impact. I'm going to give a little surprise Goldring edition as well here. Kerry's just going to pop up and share something. Perhaps if she could borrow that hand mic, because we were just talking last night about this. And God's been speaking to Kerry as well. And I said, well, let me encourage you. Come and share tomorrow morning. So she has got something to share, which is really important as well. But I'd just encourage you to go from here this morning, and we'll wrap it up as soon as she's finished. Just encourage you to go away from here and just be thinking, okay, God, how can you use me? How can the gifts that you have be released through me?
Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear myself. So yesterday I asked God if he had a message for me to bring to you here at River of Life Church. And he did. It was very specific and very personal to me, but I know that it will be very personal to lots of you here because that's how God works. So he asked me to tell you that some of you in this room today and in this building are on exactly the same journey as I am at the moment. And he wants you to know that that journey is not the fullness of the journey that he has planned for you. That some of you here today don't feel worthy of having a gift, especially that of prophecy. That some of you feel like it's for someone else who is spectacular, someone that's special. But God says that we are all special to him because he chose every single one of us here today to be part of his body and to be part of his family. He wants to say today that he's given every single one of us a gift. He says that some of you think, like me, that you don't have a gift, or you're not aware of just how significant your gifting is to the growth of the body, and that's because you don't speak to him enough and you don't ask. So the Father says today that if you don't know what your gifting is, then all you need to do is ask him. God has given each of us a gift for a bigger purpose. So if you ask him, then you will all receive. He's also made it clear to me that today I need to tell you that once he has told you what your gifting is, then you have a responsibility to activate it and to grow in your gift. He wants to reassure you that you don't feel that you don't need to be afraid, because he will give you all that you need to grow and to provide you with daily opportunities to grow within your gifting. He has also said that it is about you choosing to make the step and desiring the growth. And he's reminded me of the story of that horse that was really thirsty, and the owner took it to the water, but the horse still wouldn't drink it. And that's how we are sometimes. We are like that horse. We are thirsty for him. We're thirsty for his gifting. And we are there because he's given us the tools. But if we don't stick our tongue out and start sipping that water, then we're going to get dry and we're not going to be able to use it. So in order to grow in that gifting, you are like the horse. You need to stick your tongue out, take a sip, and the more you grow, the more you'll want to grow. He's also asked me to share just a tiny little bit of my story. So as you know, I'm married to Rob. We've been married nearly 8 months. And Rob has a real prophetic gifting. And the more I've got to know Rob, and the more we've grown within our relationship, the more that I felt that, oh my goodness, prophetic really is something that's not for me, and felt that it's something that I'm really not worthy of. But on Friday, I was with a couple of ladies from our church, and we were having a prayer and ministry healing session together. And I know that for me, it's always been really easy to get into God's presence. Like, I can connect just like that. It's no problem at all. And I can hear from him all the time. And that has grown and strengthened with the amount of time that I've spent with him over the last few years. So on Friday, he told me that that actually is a gift from him. That to be able to connect with him so quickly and so easily is a real gifting, because not everybody has that. But then he also, as he does, when he tells me something, he always also likes to set me a challenge, which I don't always want to take on board, but this time I will, I said yes. So he told me that gifting of connection is something that isn't just for me and him. It's not just about building our relationship, but it's something that I need to step out in, and I need to use that gifting to support other people. So he reminded me of a situation with my grandma. Recently, over the summer, my grandma was in hospital. She wasn't a Christian, very poorly, and has a few weeks ago passed away. But I really tried hard to get her to know Christ. I needed, before she died, for her to know who Jesus was, and I really wanted for her to make that commitment. So I would read scripture. She wasn't interested. She didn't want to listen. I would speak to her, but it wasn't enough. So one day, I asked God to show me something that I wouldn't know, so that I could give that message to her. And he gave me a picture. So I shared the picture with my grandma, and she said, yeah, how do you know that? And I said, because God has just told me that. And it was a picture that gave her so much pleasure. So there was me always thinking, oh no, I don't have this gifting. I can't listen to God. I can't use my gifting to support anyone. But actually, he took me back to that situation where I was just obedient and listened to him. And then he also reminded me that he's going to equip me with the tools that I need in order to be able to use my gifting. So there's been lots of opportunities. He took me back to a few Sundays ago where he'd given me an opportunity to stand up and share something in church, but I was too frightened. I didn't want to. I thought, oh, as a leader's wife, what if I get it wrong? What if I say the wrong thing? So I chose not to listen to him, and I missed an opportunity to grow. So here I am today. Yesterday he gave me a message for you all. He's given me the notes because he knows that I like to be prepared and read things, and I'm not like Rob, I can't just get up and speak. I like to be prepared. So he's given me everything that I needed, but he wanted me to share this to encourage some of you here today that you just need to find out what your gifting is, but then you've got a real opportunity. He will give you the opportunity on a daily basis to grow in that gifting. But it's about you activating that. So don't be that horse that's just standing looking at the water. Make sure you stick your tongue out, start sipping it up, because then you'll grow, grow, grow and flourish. And not only will you flourish, but also he will flourish, and so will our church, and so will the body. So thank you very much.
Wonderful. Can I just ask the worship band just to come back up? We're done. I'm finished. I was just reminded by God, just to conclude, two things really, if I can remember what both of those were. One, I'm reminded of a friend of mine back in our church who his gifting really is to serve, actually. And if I need someone to do something, I can get in touch with him and he will do it. He will be on the door. He will pick people up. He will welcome people. He will stay late. He will lock up. He will go and get someone for me if I need them. And it's just, it's a gift, actually, because not everyone will happily do that. And this is not all about the spectacular gifts, is it? It's not all about miracles and prophecy. It's about whatever the gift is. And God might give you that gift of serving, that gift of administration, that gift of doing something behind the scenes, which is so, so important, that is part of the body, that we all need every aspect. So don't be so... blinkered? Don't be so blinkered that it has to be a certain type of gift. Just ask God. Actually, and just to finally remind you, you know, God just loves you. Just loves you, loves you, loves you. He loves to give gifts, doesn't he? He's got a good gift for you. And we're just going to finish, and I want to just do something to finish. And I know you normally finish with a song, so we are going to finish with a song. But I just encourage us just to stand if we can, if we're ready to do one. What I'd like us to do is just during this last song, or however many songs you're going to do, I know we've gone over a little bit, just during this song, I'd love to encourage you to prophesy. And I've explained what prophecy at the simplest level is. And actually that might be that you just turn around, you go and walk next to someone, and you just speak something into their lives. Okay, and I think there's no time like the present. I'd encourage us to do it over coffee. Speak something strengthening, encouraging, comforting. Go and tell someone how great they are. Go and speak truth into their life. And we'll do it sensitively because there's going to be worship. And you might just want to stand and receive and ask God what your gifting is. But it might be that you feel like God said to you, I can do that. I'm going to go and encourage someone. And I think now is the perfect time to do that. And we just encourage someone with a prophetic word in that sense. Okay? Thank you.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision.